You're listening to Guitar Goddess Radio with Azina, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy to be here with you today and to talk to you. You are just kind of a renaissance woman. You have so much to offer to female guitarists and just artists in general. I mean, you've kind of hit all the different areas, you know, and I'd really just like to talk to you and hopefully you can share some of your wisdom and experience with some of our subscribers.
Okay.
And, you know, the first thing I'm going to talk about is it's so interesting. You know, you're an amazing guitarist. You front your own band and you've published a book and you've had music and TV and film. Wow, what haven't you done?
Well, I haven't toured South America.
Okay.
I want to do a lot more touring.
Yeah.
I would like to take this band out on the road. I've toured with other bands, but I really want to take Davey out on the road if possible.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now tell me a little bit about your latest music project. I was listening to it today and yesterday, and I'm just like, this is amazing. I mean, this is, you know, it's radio ready. It's beautiful. It's easy to listen to when you're driving, you know, but also when you want to get your little groove on, you know, you've got that going on too. You kind of hit like all the different areas. And I just think it's an amazing collection of music. And I just want to, phenomenal work. You know, I'm really impressed.
Thanks a lot. It's great to hear because, you know, you work on something in private, you know, and then you never, by the time you're done with it, you're so sick of it.
Exactly.
If it actually hits someone else, it's like, oh, yeah, I think I did okay. So,
And the studio, talk to me. Let's start from the beginning. Let's talk about the recording of the songs.
Sure.
You know, you were in a studio and you're saying all these vintage amps, and I know how I am when I get around gear. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, I kind of lose my mind a little bit. And
yeah, well, I've got good and bad news on that front. I was extremely blessed to, well, we did the drums and bass at the Pigeon Club studio in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Okay.
And beautiful Neve board and great studio. Then we went to SST in Weehawken, which is kind of a big rehearsal facility where, you know, the Black Crowes rehearse and Alicia Keys. And they also rent gear, so they have every amp under the planet. And my brother works there. He's the drum manager. So it was amazing because, you know, any tone that I wanted, I would think, okay, I'd like to have an orange on here and they can wheel an orange out. Or, you know, do you guys have like a little Fender Hot Rod Deluxe? They bring it out, you know. I mean, we just went in there and dug out. I think I used every amp in there. And it was really amazing to have that up. It was like being a kid in a candy store, you know. And then I just cranked them up really loud because it's a huge space. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Ramos was there at the time and he did all the engineering on the guitar tracks. So he put up with me just like, you know, you know, with an amp, you kind of do have to turn it up until it starts to do its thing.
Exactly.
And the tone. So I was amazing. That's the good news. The very sad news is that Hurricane Sandy completely destroyed the Pigeon Club.
Oh my gosh.
Jewels of studio around here. It's irreplaceably gone, you know. SST suffered severe damage. They have decided to rebuild, but they lost a lot of those amps.
Oh, wow.
Many of their guitars. And also all their record. They had just built a new state-of-the-art recording studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then many of the artists that have gear there
lost
had
their gear
completely destroyed.
Wow.
So they had 15 feet of water. They had a storm surge in there. So that's the sad side. I felt really, it's funny because I have new songs that I'm getting ready to record. And just as I was starting to gear up to do that, both my favorite studios were just completely hammered by this crazy hurricane. So, yeah. That's the sad
part. That is sad. I mean, the entire Hurricane Sandy situation, I mean, you know, you just feel so helpless when that goes on, when we are in other parts of the world, you know, and you're just like, how can I help? What can I do? You know, but you don't think about the things like gear that's irreplaceable, that's no longer being manufactured. And, you know, you don't think about those things that are lost.
Yeah, I mean, the vintage gear that was lost at SST, I'm not at liberty to talk about, but it was severe.
Wow.
There were some historic things that were lost that belonged to some of the artists that were storing things there, and it's up to them to say what they lost if they want about it.
Yeah.
But it was horrific, you know. So it's just a strange, crazy thing that happened.
Yeah.
But I was extremely lucky to have that opportunity.
Yes, you were. You were, and the music sounds incredible. And you know, just how did you figure out like what sound you wanted to go with? You know, my whole thing is when I'm in the studio, I'm thinking, okay, I like this sound, but then you start mixing up your microphones and your amps and your compressors, and then you get a whole nother sound, and it's like, well, I like that too. How do you decide, you know, what sound you want to go with?
I go with the amp, you know, and I record guitars without much compression.
Okay.
I really don't want much of anything affecting the sound mm-hmm. as it goes in.
Mm-hmm.
Later when we mix, that's a different story.
Yeah.
So that leaves me free to just think about the amp and the guitar. And, you know, I have a Fender Strat that mm-hmm. I use on most things. I'm a Fender Girl Rock Nation artist.
Yeah.
And I have a Gibson Les Paul Special that I use that's made of mahogany. So sometimes when I want kind of a warmer, rounder tone, mm-hmm. I use that. And then for amps, I don't know, each song kind of told me, like, if I want something really heavy, I need the Mezzo Boogie Rectifier.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the elephant coming into the room.
Right.
You know, and then I experimented with different amps that they had until I kind of got a feel for, you know, what they were going to sound like. And some really surprised me. Like, I didn't realize I would love an Orange as much as I did.
Mm.
Of course, I used, you know, a lot of Fender amps, this Marshall. I think you got to just experiment, and you got to turn the amp up and down and listen to its tonality in different volumes. You can mic it close, mic it far away. What we did was mic it close, and then we also had a 360-degree microphone far away.
Okay.
So that way you have room sound and close mic sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're mixing, you have those choices. Like if you want it to sound bigger and get more of a room sound, you bring in the room mic. So I think placing a couple of different mics gives you, you want to have options when you go to mix.
Yes,
you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, great. And let's talk a little bit about your songwriting process. You know, I talk with a lot of artists about their process. Some people, you know, just start fiddling around on the guitar and then something comes to them. Some people are more regimented, you know, about their process. Can you explain what your process is?
Yeah, I think I can. I usually sit down to write a song when I'm overwhelmed with some kind of feeling that I can't express in words.
Okay.
And I just pick up the guitar and I sit with it and I play around until something hits me on the guitar that expresses either the pain or the frustration or the longing or whatever it might be. And I always write the music first, pretty much, because I'm just sort of expressing myself musically. And then the lyrics start to coalesce after that. And I always use a huge sketchbook and a Sharpie.
Ah.
I don't know why. I just need that big space to just be like, you know, and like be able to cross stuff out and rewrite things. And I find those big old sketchbooks really work.
Well, that's awesome, you know, being visual and also, you know, the audio, putting that together, you know, is a really cool concept of, okay, here's the visual. This is the visual of my angst. This is what it sounds like.
Some of my, I don't know if I have any around me right now. I don't. But yeah, my sheets where I've written songs on are just like, I don't think anyone could really make any sense of them. They're just scrawled on and drawn on and, you know. But yeah, I think, you know, I think the guitar is such a expressive instrument that when we pick it up, we can really use it to express emotion, and then the words, then you kind of have to sort the words out, you know.
And what advice would you have for young singer-songwriters that are just starting to compose their, you know, their first music, and, you know, they're writing, and they're trying to put it down on guitar, and that sort of thing? What advice would you have for someone just starting?
Wow. I would say, to really try to turn off any censors in your head, like don't censor yourself and don't judge yourself, and know that it will suck really badly before it's better. And every song I've ever written, I thought was pretty awful initially, you know, because you write it initially and it's just awkward and you just go in, no, you know. So, but you got to just put that negativity aside and just roll with it, flow with it, like whatever helps you to kind of just let it flow and not think about it, you know, and to be in touch emotionally, you know?
And when you say, like, be in touch emotionally, I know sometimes as artists you can't really, you know, you can't really be objective properly about your own music. Would you suggest, like, a mentor, a writing partner, an organization, you know, any types of organizations or things like that that you think are helpful to a beginning singer-songwriter?
Wow, good question. I think writing with other people is definitely, I mean, the first band I was ever in was a punk band, and we wrote everything collaboratively, and it was great. I mean, we had one very interesting rule, because invariably when you're writing with somebody, a partner or a group of people, and you raise an idea like, hey, what if we put the bridge in, you know, the song's in 4/4, what if we put the bridge in 3/4? Somebody will say no. So our rule was, you can't say no until we've all played it. So okay. That actually was a real example from, I think, the first song that I brought to that band. I was like, let's put the bridge in 3/4. And the bass player was like, no. But we played. I was like, can we just try it? And we played it, and everybody was like, really cool.
Yeah.
So I'd say play your ideas out before you judge them. Don't judge someone else's ideas until you've tried them, because as crazy as it may sound, it might really surprise you. As far as organizations, I don't know. I mean, I think ASCAP and BMI both do songwriter showcases. Mm-hmm. Going to open mics is just a great way to get up your nerve to, you know, sing a song in front of some people and to try out new material. I do open mics when I've got new material to try out. I'll just go and play it somewhere just to see if it works, you know.
Wow. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's great advice.
Good.
Yeah, there's so many areas. Now I want to jump into the book. You know, authoring a book, you know, there are lots of artists that are starting to, you know, start teaching lessons, and then it's like, oh, I need to put together a workbook. You know, tell us about your process of, you know, composing your book, you know, because that's kind of a different thing. You're teaching.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Well, I'll show it again. It's right here.
Yes.
The language.
Move it over more so we can see the whole thing.
Can you see it?
Over to your right. Oh, there you go. Awesome.
Forward by Dr. John.
Okay.
Which makes me really happy.
Okay.
And then it's blurbs by Bonnie Raitt in the back, which makes me happy too.
Yes. We love her.
We love Bonnie Raitt. She's like the first woman I ever saw play electric guitar.
Wow.
And when I saw her, I jumped up in my seat. I was at her show, and I started screaming to the embarrassment of my girlfriend. Yeah, I just lost my mind because I just needed to see that, see somebody do it, you know? I was like, the next day I bought my first guitar. I was like, that's it, you know. But, yeah, the book is it's a sort of a dictionary of the words in blues songs and what they mean.
Okay.
You could look up a word like mojo and find out its etymology, like how it goes back to African languages. But what was really unique about this book is I tried to talk to as many old blues artists as possible and find out, what do these words mean to you? Because I'm not a scholar, I'm a musician. So like, I want to talk to other musicians and say, you know, when you were growing up, what did hoodoo mean? You know, tell me from your experience. You're like 91 years old, Robert Junior Lockwood. Tell me what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And so that was great. And the reason I did it was I had been working as associate editor of Blues Review magazine, and I would use these words like mojo and hoodoo. And one day I thought, do I really know what these mean? Do I really know where they come from? Mm-hmm. And I started keeping a list. And when I got to over 100 words that are all from blues songs or phrases like Killing Floor, Nation Sack, I thought, you know, I think I might have a book here. And I just dug in and started working on a proposal, and it got sold, and I wrote the book.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think it's absolutely amazing that you're able to do all of this, and you're still writing, you're still recording, you're still touring. You know, you just got in last night from
a show. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, for me, I'm a writer and a musician.
Yes.
And I love to write, but I find it kind of isolating.
Mm-hmm.
So music has always been a natural, you know, thing for me. and to be able to be with other people and be performing and be out and all that, and then also retreat to writing. You know, they balance each other out well for me. So,
no, I think it's fabulous. I think it's really wonderful just to, the way that you've merged everything together in a way that's seamless, you know, and just sharing the information that you know. We thank you so much for doing that, because as artists, you know, sometimes, like you said, the isolation, you know, and you're just kind of going from city to city and performing, and you meet your fans, but you know, the relationships that you get to make are a little bit different when you're working.
Yeah, that's really true. My best friend is a phenomenal writer named Lily Barana, and we talk about that isolation sometimes. We really lean on each other, mm-hmm. which is why I think Guitar Goddess is so great, because there are enough female guitar players now that we can really support each other and encourage each other, and we're not out there by ourselves like a few little weirdos.
Yeah.
I'm real excited. Davey is playing a Avon breast cancer benefit March 16th in Asbury Park. And the band that's putting it together is called the Astro Phoenix Project. And it's all women. And the guitarist, Carolyn Morosi, is amazing. She really is great. And I get excited to see another woman playing lead guitar. And I don't know if you saw Beyonce on the Super Bowl.
Yes,
and her guitar
and BB
stepped out. And,
yes.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Yes, I know. So, I was like, awesome.
That was great. It was amazing.
Yes.
So it's, and also we can't, we have to keep improving, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, we have to catch up, and we can't rest on, oh, we're women, so isn't it groovy that we can play a little bit? Mm-hmm. Like, we really have to show that we can. It's ridiculous to think we can't do this.
Exactly.
You know, we just got a late start on the boys. That's all.
I totally agree with you. It's so interesting. Starting the magazine, you know, a few years ago, people were like, oh, are there that many female guitarists? And I said, well, I have a list of 1,000 and growing. So, you know, and my goal is to try to talk to as many as possible, because I think in the sharing, we all grow and we all realize, you know, we're all the same. We all have the same, you know, goals. We want to be good. We want to do our music, and it's all different. All of our music's different. None of it is the same, but that there's a community. You know, and hopefully through your words of wisdom, you're inspiring some of the younger girls. You know, I see there's 9 and 10 year olds that are coming to the site, and I'm like, wow, you know, I hadn't
even. Very exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You know, I wanted to play guitar. My mother, I feel bad. My mother hates it when I tell the story, but I wanted to start playing electric guitar when I was 14 or 15. And because I used to sing the solos on the radio instead of the songs. Like if I heard Led Zeppelin or something, I'd be like, do-do-do-do-do-do. You know, I don't know why. But, you know, I asked her if I could get an electric guitar, and she was just, like, mortified. Like, that's unladylike. What? No. And that's changed, thank God.
Yes.
And, you know, she was trying to do the right thing by me. Mm-hmm. So, but it's really cool to see that that has changed, that perception. You know?
When did you start playing?
Well, I played, you know, my parents did get me an acoustic guitar, for which I'm really grateful, and I played acoustic guitar from, like, 15 on, and but I didn't get an electric guitar till my senior year in college, after I saw Bonnie, and I just flipped out. I was like, I can't take it anymore. I ran to this music store in Madison, Wisconsin, and there in the corner was this little Fender Mustang that I picked up for $125.
Love it.
The guy said, yeah, it's from, like, a farm in Janesville. You know, no one's ever used it. And I just didn't know what to do with it, even. But my roommate's boyfriend was a wonderful musician named Dave Newman, who's still a good friend of mine. In fact, if you go to my YouTube channel, you can see him doing a cover of our song, All That I Need. It's really cute. It's really good. So he just started teaching me, like, the pentatonic. And then he brought this Fender amp over to the apartment, and my girlfriends were like, oh, no. Like, it was in my bedroom, and they're like, oh, no, this doesn't look good. And that was it. And then I went to New York shortly after that, and I didn't know anyone in the city, so I just started going to auditions for bands to try to meet people. Mm-hmm. And to my complete shock, I got in a band. I could barely play. I got in, like, this punk band, and that was it.
Wow. Yeah. What courage!
Oh, you know, it wasn't, it's interesting that you say courage, because I remember deciding that that I was going to dare to suck. Like, that was my slogan. It was like, dare to suck. Because I was terrible. I could barely play. But I was like, I'm in New York. I don't know anybody. It's okay to be awful. It's okay to go to these auditions and fall on your face. It's just an adventure. Just go out there and screw it all up. Who cares? And that attitude really saved the day. And I recommend that attitude highly, you know. So I don't always stick to it, but I try to. And sometimes I fall on my face, but that's how you grow, you know. You cannot chicken out. You cannot woodshed in your basement until you think you're ready. Just go out, get in a band, and play. You know, that's how you're going to learn and be driven and pushed.
That's absolutely true. And thank you so much for saying that, because I think that's what holds some women back. It's like, I'm not good enough, you know, to go out and audition or play, or I'm not good enough to go to an open mic yet. Let me just keep practicing a few more years, and a few more years will turn into a decade. And before you know it, it may never happen. So thank you so much for saying that, because those are the words of wisdom that I think women need to hear more of. It's okay. It's okay.
Who cares? Yeah. I mean, I had terrible auditions, you know. I went and auditioned for this heavy metal band of all girls. They all had their hair up to here and studs and everything. And I walked in, they're just like, okay. And I kept along pretty well with the rhythm, but then they wanted me to sing backing vocals. And they all had these big, gruff voices. And I'm like, I want to be your cherry pie. And they're just like, no. You know, and I mean, it was embarrassing, but I had to laugh about it. You have to laugh about it if you fail. You have to. And just move on, you know? Find the right situation.
Yes, you will over time. And you know, you put together your band, Davey, and I was reading where you were saying, you know, you met your drummer and you asked him to come to an audition. And he's like, where's the lead guitarist? And you're like, you're looking at her.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. Because he hadn't seen me play, and he just heard the demo. So when he showed up for rehearsal, he thought there was someone else playing the lead guitar that just hadn't come to rehearsal yet. I was able to disabuse him of that notion. And he's actually like insanely supportive and cool. They both are. I mean, every guy I've played with, I've definitely run into some sexist, rotten behavior from male musicians, but I would say that it's been minimal, and most male musicians are so cool and so supportive and so excited, you know. And that's a good thing.
Now let's talk about your new CD. Show us your CD.
Oh god, okay, let's dig it out. Hold on.
Don't worry, I'm gonna edit, so yay. I love it. I love the photo. I love it.
Oh, thank you. This photo is by this amazing female photographer, Connie Hansen. Her site is Les Guzman, G-U-Z-M-A-N. She is amazing. And these are the guys in the band on the back. They're so cute. Drummer, bass player, John, Dan. Cute guys. Cute man. You gotta have cute men.
Yes.
She was awesome. So she shot a lot of great people, and it was really fun to work with her.
Well, I understand you have a surprise for the subscribers.
I do. We have put. We're going to give you guys our album as a free download, and it'll be up on the site. And you can listen to it, download all of it, part of it, and rock out, enjoy it, and learn some of the songs. Oh, you know what else I have?
Yes.
That I should tell you about is I have a songbook that I made for the album, the Get Free Songbook. So if people want to learn the songs, they can go to my website and buy the songbook. And I've got tabs, chords, even vocal harmonies written out. The only thing I haven't written out yet is the guitar solos, and I'm working on that. So
awesome.
I encourage people to use it to learn to play as well.
Well, wonderful. Thank you so much for your time and for your generosity. I think,
oh, my pleasure.
Oh my gosh, this has just been so wonderful. And thank you so much for the download. And, you know, you guys got to go out and get the download. It's incredible. I've been listening to it on and on and on and on. It's like on my soundtrack now. It's like my work soundtrack.
Glad you're enjoying it. That just makes my day.
Yes.
It's great to meet you, then. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
We'll be in touch.
Deborah Davey.
Right. Come on, guitar goddess.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Guitar Goddess Radio with Azina, only on LA Talk Radio.